Now, as we continue with our studies in the Gospel according to John, I want to read to you the first 15 verses or so of chapter 5, the Gospel according to John and chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. The certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, 'Tis the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? He that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Sure, the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we acknowledge again it's thy word we've been reading, the inspired word, the eternal word, the word that is settled in heaven. And as we come to what thy word has said, we would ask that thou wilt cause us to understand it, take it in, and to apply the lesson to our lives in a practical way. We pray very specially for all who may be listening at this time. O God, thou knowest every heart. There may be someone listening who needs a very, very special blessing. Draw near to such. Save those that need to be saved. Encourage those who need to be encouraged. We ask these things, giving thanks in the Savior's name. Amen. Now, I want to remind you again of something that we have continually mentioned in connection with the study of John's Gospel. That is, that the writer here has selected a certain number of miracles that are called signs. He has placed those signs on record here in this Gospel, and then each one more or less is followed by some discussion or some message, some discourse, if you like, by the Lord, based more or less on the outcome of the miracle. Now, when we come here to chapter 5, we are faced with the third sign. You will remember the first sign was in chapter 2 when he turned the water into wine. And then you had the second sign specially mentioned in connection with the Lord again up in Galilee where he healed the nobleman's son. Now, here is the third sign. Here is the visit of the Son of God to the house of mercy, the place that is called here in chapter 5, in the Hebrew tongue it's called Bethesda, having 5 porches. And so he comes down to this place, the house of mercy, and here we find the healing of this impotent man. He is healed by the omnipotent physician. And this is another sign to prove the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, notice there was quite a variety of people lying around in these 5 porches. it tells us there was a great multitude of impotent folk. There were blind people there, some who were halt and withered, all waiting for a certain event to take place. Now remember, the blind could not see, the halt could not walk, and the withered could not work. You would say, what a motley crowd of people. They couldn't see, they couldn't walk, they couldn't work. If ever you found a group of people that were in need, in dire need, you'd find them there in the five porches at the pool of Bethesda. But out from the midst of all these waiting people, we find one man, specially selected and spoken to by the Lord. Now it's this man to whom our attention is specially directed in this incident. First of all, the thing we notice about the man is that he was weak. He was a weak man. You know, young boys usually like to think that they're strong. It's an amazing thing how young boys like to show their strength, at least what they think is strength. And sometimes you find men making a display of their strength. But when you come down to the final analysis, you discover this, that men are usually weak. There's a weakness about every man. It may be that some have not yet noticed this weakness, and yet if they were to sit down and consider it, you'd find in the final analysis there's a weakness in every man. And it can be traced to its very root. And the weakness that is in humanity is the weakness of sin. Now, in this man in particular, notice the different weaknesses that characterized this man. First of all, there was the weakness of the human body. For 38 years, this man experienced a physical infirmity because of sin. You know, no matter how old a person may be, no matter how many years they have lived on this earth, there comes the time when every individual has got to face the fact of the weakness of the human body. Or you may be able to take drugs, you may be able to get certain treatments that may help you, they may ease the pain, they may restore you in measure to your health and strength again, but there comes a time when the years begin to tell. And even the strongest of men begin to get weak. And there comes the time when we've got to bid farewell to this life down here. So we're all faced more or less at some time or another with the fact of the weakness of the human body. That causes us to sit down and intelligently think this thing through. Why do we get weak? Because the Bible gives us the secret to the whole thing. Lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth death. The reason why we die is because that Adam sinned. And because that Adam sinned, death has been passed upon all men, for that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the ultimate issue of the weakness of the human body is death. But nevertheless, while we're still living on this earth, there are times when we are faced with the great fact of physical weakness. But now I notice another weakness in connection with this man. There's the weakness of human relationship. For when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this man, he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And the impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. I have no man." May I ask each of you listening to my voice now, have you ever been in the position in life where you felt friendless? Have you ever been in that position where you needed a help? You needed someone to come alongside and share the burden, but there was no one to do it? Now remember, this man must have had relatives. In fact, perhaps he had some professed friends. Otherwise, how did he get to the pool? who brought him there. He was there, right enough, but he had no man to help him. This man must have had relatives and perhaps some professed friends, I repeat, but in the hour of deepest need, he had no man to help him. You know, that must be a tremendous experience. I read of a man away back in the Old Testament who was passing through times of trouble. He lost all his family, so he had none of his family to help him. He had some people who professed to be his friends. When they came along, they only criticized him, blamed him. He turned to his wife. Perhaps she could give him a word of comfort, but she didn't. She said, "It's useless. Give up. Curse God and die. Put an end to it." A man who was in a state of weakness. He needed a helping hand. There was no one to help him. Here's the position now with this man in John chapter 5. The weakness of human relationship. He had no man to help him. I notice another weakness in this man's life. There was weakness of religious ceremonials. The opening verse of the chapter says, "After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem." A feast of the Jews? Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool by the sheep market. Now notice there's two things. A feast of the Jews. Here was a man lying at the entrance to the city at the sheep gate where the sheep went in. Now remember, in all the religious ceremonials of the Jews, lambs were offered in sacrifice. Here was a man lying at the very place where he could see those lambs being taken in at what was called the sheep gate, taken into the sheep market. Sheep that would be bought and taken up and sacrificed, in fact. From where he was lying, there's every possibility that he could see the smoke arise from the sacrifices that were being made on those Jewish altars. More than that, it was at the time of a Jewish feast, a religious ceremonial. Yet he was a man lying in all his weakness, within view of the place where the religious ceremonies were being held, lying at a place where he could see the sheep going in. So I tell you this, there was a weakness of religious ceremonials, a feast of the Jews. There were people there who could attend and keep the feasts, but were unable to help this poor man. There was the weakness of the religious sacrifices. He was at the sheep gate. Through this gate the sacrificial lambs would pass, but could not help this helpless man. I notice another weakness here. It's the weakness of religious observances. For we distinctly read here that it was on the Sabbath day that these things happened. Verse 16 says, "And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day." Here was the weakness of religious observances. Observing the Sabbaths and holy days could not give rest to the weary sufferers. My friend, add these things together. Here's a man seen in all his weakness. Oh, what a picture of the sinner in all his need. The weakness of the human body. A man who was so weak and withered in his frame that he couldn't work. A man who suffered the weakness of human relationships. There was no man to help him. The weakness of religious ceremonials, a feast of the Jews. That feast couldn't help him. That religious ceremony couldn't help him. The weakness of religious sacrifices, the sheep gate, and the sheep passing by being offered, but the man still lay helpless. The weakness of religious observances, 'twas the Sabbath day, but it did nothing to bring rest to this man. See, the Sabbath speaks of rest, but there was no rest for this weary man, because he'd been lying there now, coming and going, perhaps being lifted and laid for 38 years. I ask you, my friend, in connection with your situation, have you ever felt weak? Have you ever felt that life was useless? There was nothing you were accomplishing in life? You felt the weakness of your own body. You felt the weakness of human relationship. You felt the weakness of religious services. You felt the weakness of religious sacrifices. You felt the weakness of religious observances, and you're saying, I have no man. It's useless. But I want you to notice, he was a waiting man. He was waiting because he was disappointed with past experiences. A great number of people were lying there, but he was a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Can you imagine? For 38 years this man had waited in the hope that something very exceptional would happen to him. But all he had experienced was disappointment. You know, it's an old saying among some people when they're having it hard in life and things are going against them. They'll say, well, someday, you know, my ship may come in. Someday the tide may turn. Someday, and to use a worldly expression, they say, my luck will change. Oh, my friend, listen, these things are useless. He was a man waiting for 38 years, and all that time he was disappointed, disappointed with past experiences. I want to put it straight to every listener tonight. If you care to think back on your life, all the things you hoped for, and they didn't come to pass, you had a lot of disappointments in life, hadn't you? You've been disappointed in yourself. You've been disappointed in your relatives. You've been disappointed with your religion. Yes, my friend, you've been disappointed with your own works. Yet you're waiting, hoping that somewhere, somehow along the way, things will change and they'll come all right for you. But it may be there's a lot of years behind you. The day's getting darker now. The clouds of evening are coming upon you. And you may not have long to go. And the thing you waited for hasn't come to pass yet. Waiting because he was disappointed with past experiences. May I suggest he's waiting because he was dissatisfied with present conditions. Now, when he looked around, he saw a mass of people in a hopeless condition. Isn't that what you see today? Read the news today. Read your newspaper. And I care not which one you read. Read them. You'll discover in a final analysis, the news today is simply telling you this, that this old world of ours is made up of a mass of people who are in a hopeless condition, country after country, wondering which way to turn, and even the best of countries facing their problems. When we look within at ourselves, just the same as this man, for when he looked within at himself, he simply reflected that same hopeless state. He looked around him and he saw hopeless people. He looked into his own heart, and he was just a reflection of what was going on round about him. He also was lying in a hopeless state. When he looked at the pool, he contemplated the possibility of something better, waiting because he was dissatisfied with present conditions. I ask you, my friend, does that describe you? Is it possible that you also are disappointed with past experiences, and then you're also dissatisfied with present conditions? But now he was waiting for another reason. He was waiting in the hope of some extraordinary event. Was it possible, if he waited long enough and tried hard enough, that he could be the fortunate person to step into the pool at the right time and be healed? Well, now you see, he's waiting in the hope of some extraordinary event. May I suggest, there's a lot of people today just like that man, waiting again, I say, because they're disappointed with the past experiences, waiting because they're dissatisfied with present conditions, waiting in the hope of some extraordinary event. My friend, let me ask you, what extraordinary event do you think will bring relief to you? Even if it brought relief to your physical needs, even if it brought relief for your material needs, what about your spiritual needs? What are you waiting for? Why do you wait, dear sinner? Why do you tarry so long? The Savior is waiting to give you a place in His sanctified throng. He said to this man, wilt thou be made whole? Plain words He's saying to the man, are you willing to be made whole? Now, a lot of people today are laying all the emphasis on physical healing. May I suggest to you, my friend, that something far better than that? Wilt thou be made whole? This question directed to the helpless man by the Lord Jesus is not directed to test his knowledge, nor yet is it directed to his will, but rather it is a question directed to the man's desire. Do you desire to be made well again? Now notice, the man accepted the challenge. Plain words, I desire all right, but I need help. Then he obeyed the command. He took up his bed and walked. He enjoyed the cure. He entered into the temple, the place of worship. He testified to his critics, he that made me whole told me to do it. Here was a man who was willing. The man who had the desire to obey the word of the Lord. You see, my friend, it's possible that the Lord has spoken to you at different times. You know, there's a familiar text in the book of Revelation where it says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. Now, I know quite well that that verse is spoken to the church at Laodicea. But remember, the church at Laodicea was made up of people. And it narrows down to the individual. It says, if any man will hear my voice, is it possible the Lord's been knocking at your heart's door? Is it possible the Lord has been talking to you for a long time? Has he come to your heart with these words, Wilt thou be made whole? Do you desire to be made well again? Now let us talk just for a moment or two of your great need as a sinner. My friend, are you living a defeated life? Are you simply lying down in the circumstances, saying, well, something might happen someday, the change may come, and you've been defeated, and you're disappointed. You're wondering what life is all about. And the Lord comes and says, well, look, are you willing to be made well again? Do you desire to do the right thing? Do you desire to walk and testify to the power of Christ? He accepted the challenge, do you? As you listen to my voice now, my friend, are you willing to listen to what the Lord has to say to you so far as your life is concerned? And the Lord spoke to him. And when he spoke to him, he says, take up thy bed and walk. Now here was a command. Now remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This man heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he obeyed. What about you? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, so says the Bible. This man enjoyed the cure, and I like what he did. The moment he was made whole, what did he do? He went into the temple, because he took up his bed and he walked. Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. You see, here was a man. When he was made whole, he arose out of that awful state of despondency. He arose out of that awful condition where he was disappointed and dissatisfied. And he walked into the place where he was able to give a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you, my friend? He was a witnessing man. He witnessed, first of all, by his walk, that he had been made whole. Then he witnessed by his words that it was Jesus who had made him whole.